Gentlemen, welcome back to the Leo Effects. Today I'm joined by a super special guest. She's got some really interesting stuff going on right now, and we're going to talk about pretty much everything that we can within this 30-minute time frame. But please allow me to introduce my guest for this evening, Shayna Adler, and we're going to talk about her album Wander. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very, very good now that I'm here with you and sitting down and getting away from the outside world for a few minutes.
Well, there you go. Any excuse to sit down, I suppose.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Sure. So you've been extremely busy lately, and, you know, especially from last year into this year. And, you know, we've had this whole lockdown, come out of lockdown, quarantines, all this good stuff. Has that been, you know, really taking its toll on you musically?
It has changed a lot of things. I would say the big positives that get me time to actually finish this album. Because I was touring a lot last year, not only with my own band, but with a bigger band that I tour managed for. So it was really strange to all of a sudden stop, you know, and reevaluate priorities and what I could work on, what I should be working on, and, you know, and just trying to stay sane. Also, I think, because I'm in Los Angeles, so I mean, there was definitely a lot of things closed immediately, and it was really difficult to figure out how to rearrange. Also, you know, my day job is, you know, other than being really a full-time artist, because it really is full-time, but I'm an audio engineer at a recording studio in LA, and so a lot of things changed for us immediately. You know, we had 6 weeks of sessions dropped.
Oof.
Yeah, which was really hard. And luckily we had other stuff we could work on, my stuff, you know, the partner at the studio stuff, and we stayed busy, but this whole thing really blindsided us in so many ways.
Absolutely. Now, when you work with your band and you're putting everything all together, do you all record your parts remotely and then try and put it all together, or do you try and get on Zoom? Because I've heard that doesn't work at all.
You know, I haven't been, my live band, you know, we've been texting here and there, but we haven't really been doing anything together. The majority of my record was done just using session guys, and a lot of that's just my contacts from working at a studio. And but it was done very slowly. Some of it was done remotely, mostly drums, especially during the time of this year when I needed to go back and do more drum parts. But it all started as laptop demos that I made in Logic. Almost every song on the record was started that way. The few things we tried to cut live with the band in the studio, it did not work. Just my ideas, my style of music. And, you know, I tend to be a huge overthinker, and I obsess over every tiny part in detail. And so doing things traditionally, just for some reason, it just was not clicking. Not that what we were coming up with was bad, but it wasn't right either. So, you know, I would program drums. I'd play my own bass part, guitar parts, MIDI keyboard, piano parts, whatever I could get as much out of my head as possible, even if it wasn't the exact perfect thing, just so I could work one-on-one with every musician. I'm trying to get the shadow here with my phone. you know, we'd come in and have like a drummer play over my demo. We'd remove the demo drums, have them play over what was there, have a bass player. I'd sit down and show them kind of what I had in mind. And then, of course, you know, I used Alexis Sklarevsky, who's amazing. He's a dear, dear friend. He played with Crosby, Stills, and Nash in the 90s, and he's really brilliant. And it was such a great experience, especially as a beginner bass player, I'm going to say, because I am not, my bass player, I can play whatever is in my head, but I cannot do it with the same finesse as someone that has years of experience and a beautiful touch in the way they play the bass. So, you know, and so he would learn what I wrote and then say, well, we could take this here, we could take this here, you know, if we used this phrasing or these chords, it would really do this, you know. And everything was done that way, through keyboards, through strings. Every last thing was one-on-one. So it took almost 3 years for songs.
Honestly, doing it that way, I'm surprised that 3 years was enough time to get it done. It sounds like that was very, like, tedious and little moving parts.
It is. And there was a lot of little programming. I mean, I did all the synths. The strings, I would layer more strings on top of the live strings. Once there was something for me to hear, it was easier to create more parts and to fill things out. So there was definitely a lot of bouncing around because, you know, one track, we do something on and go, you know what? We should do something else on this other track. And then we'd stop and open up that one. And just, you know, as our ideas became clearer, it was easy to finish the other songs up. And so I think things went faster actually as time went along because the ideas became clearer. And God, it was really quite a process. You know, everyone's asking me, when's your next album? I'm like, well, now that I know this one took this long.
Do you suppose it would have been quicker had COVID not, you know, messed with everything?
Not necessarily. I think actually probably would have taken longer because I probably still would have been focused on touring. But at the same time, you know, even, I mean, I don't have a booking agent. I do everything myself. I call it my management of my enchanted bandwagon. I do everything myself. So, everything is so time consuming. And, you know, I don't think I would have really gotten further on my own, even just booking my own shows, until I had an album, because it's very hard to communicate to someone, to a promoter or whatnot, what I do. It's very hard to communicate that, or what my ideas were and my voice as a songwriter. And so having, you know, this album, I think, is really going to bring those things together. But no, I think if I was still touring, this would have never gotten done. So maybe it's
yeah, sometimes you gotta look at the silver linings. Yeah.
Sure. So
what genre of music, if you had to put this into a nice, neat little package, what genre would you say Wander is?
I would say it's Americana. This is something that's been very difficult to determine because it doesn't quite fit perfectly in anything. But I would say it's Americana. I'm from Long Beach. I don't sing with a country twang, and I can't really relate to a lot of, you know, the beautiful imagery that most country and Americana songs encompass, which is, you know, your whiskey bars and camping and fishing and, you know, and kind of the motifs that we hear a lot, but, you know, they're really beloved things. And, but they're also really a part of a culture that I've never grown up around, which is, I think, the South, you know, to be fair. And, as much as I spent quite a bit of time there, you know, granted, you know, being living here, you know, I'm not really writing songs about the beach and the city and, you know, either, but for me, using a lot of the acoustic instruments and the same instrumentation and a lot of the same feel as most Americana songs, but somehow it came out something that I think, if I can say, is a little unique. You know, even just listening to other Americana artists or pop artists or indie or folk rock, and I don't hear a lot of myself in anything else, which, by the way, as an artist is frightening, you know, because it's like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? I can't tell, you know, and you start worrying that either what you're doing is not going to be good enough because it's not going to fit in anywhere, or you're doing something wrong. And I just had to realize, you know, it's my own take on Americana, which is, you know, if you take my voice away, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of reminders of, you know, a lot of 60s country and folk and folk rock. There's a lot of reminders of that in there. But it is something that's my own, and it's a lot more nerdy.
I mean, I quite enjoy it, so I think it's a good sound. If you had to choose one other type of genre that you had to be, what would that other genre be, you think?
Probably folk rock.
Okay.
Probably your Jethro Tull and your The Byrds and, you know, it's kind of along those lines. I think there's definitely a little bit of that in there. And the last song on the record, which is Sunday Smile, there is a 12-string electric, just like what you hear in a lot of the 60s music. You know, it's such a great sound. I mean, I think The Byrds, I bring that up again, but it's, they really exemplified that sound and used it a lot and made it iconic. And so there's a little bit of that in there. So definitely somewhere between folk rock and Americana, that I would say, you know, it is Americana. It's just not what people are used to hearing.
Absolutely. Now, the album itself, is the whole album, you know, it kind of like goes along and tells a story. Is it the story of Stagecoach Sally, or is it just meant to be like this iconic Americana story?
Oh, it's something much bigger than just Stagecoach Sally. You're right. It does follow the journey of one person, you know, just like you'd think Stagecoach Sally, the character of, but it really does follow the journey of one person where they leave their everyday life, you know, which it talks about in the very first song that has kind of more very orchestral kind of dreaming, like daydreaming sound to it, that, you know, they want to leave their life and go on adventures. And they do. The next song is Into the Forest, and then the song after that is Gypsies and Caravans, and they've gotten so far away and they're meeting new people. And by the time you get to Stagecoach Sally, it's more of, as much as by itself that song is very literal, and you think, oh God, this is like a great Western song, this is like the Quick and the Dead, you know, and you've got this you know, hardcore female, but in context with the entire album, it's really her battling her demons, and the endless haunted desert is a lawless place, but it's the one in her mind, which, you know, your mind is a very lawless place. And so the bad guy is really just more of the embodiment of all these demons. And, you know, the song following that of Stagecoach Sally on the record, which is The House, you're completely in her head, you know, and she talks, you know, as I look beyond the windows of this ever-changing flat, you know, and it's really like, I see the world for what it is now. And so you're really getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So as much as it's this big fantastical adventure of going to all these different places, you're really also following the journey, the internal struggle and the internal journey of what she's going through.
Well, that's deep. Here I am thinking this is just like a whimsical romp through the Southwest. And
oh, yeah, it goes... It definitely goes places. I mean, in Manchester Stone, because she comes upon a figure disguised in a tavern speaking with a goblin and passing gold, you know, across the table, you know, and ends up in an enchanted stagecoach and sees all sorts of things. And it's a really big epic adventure. I mean, every song is a little bit of an adventure. Yeah, you know, the Western thing, it's just, you know, everyone, I think, when they think of something, you know, a dark story with a bad guy, the best thing that, you know, epitomizes that is a Western story. And then I've grown up really loving Western movies, you know, John Wayne and, you know, Clint Eastwood, you know, and all those guys. And I mean, I definitely did want it to be, you know, this epic Western no matter what, but it does have a deeper meaning than that.
Right on. Well, talking about epic adventures and, you know, things like that, last year you were on a 15-show tour.
Yes.
Like, holy cow.
In a very short amount of time and traveling in a Toyota Yaris.
Well, you were in your own stagecoach.
Yeah, I think that's more of a lawnmower, you know. I think Stagecoach is being really nice to that car.
Was any one of those shows just so leaps and bounds above the other ones that it was just like, oh, I'm going to remember that forever?
Yeah, we definitely got a lot of those moments. I think probably the best show in that tour was we went to the Raven in Prescott, Arizona. And... you know, I didn't have a lot of budget at the time. It was so expensive just to go on tour, which it is, you know. I wasn't able to do a lot of promotion for all the shows, but for some reason that one took off. And we got there and there's this crowd of people that I did not ever imagine were all there just to see us because of social media. And as soon as we started, everyone was so quiet and they were engaged and they're listening and, you know, we're talking back and forth in the stage, you know, with people. And it was the most amazing thing. And it was a very full room. I don't know how many people were there. It was a lot. It was a lot more than anyway, you know. And on one of the breaks, I walked, you know, through the room and everyone was grabbing me. They're like, Shana, it's always so nice to meet you. And like, everyone knows my name. This is crazy. But they're even people that were from the LA area or that had gotten our CDs from other people from when we were touring up through Oregon, and somehow the CDs made it to Arizona. And it was just, there was a lot of mind-blowing connections, and it really was a really powerful night and really inspiring, you know.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like, who would have known that a word of mouth or word of CD would travel that quickly and that far? That's impressive.
Well, you know, in this day and age, not a lot of people are doing the CD thing. You know, they're streaming and iTunes and whatnot. But it is really, really amazing to see how far those CDs traveled, or just the word of mouth. And it really still is the most powerful way of connecting with people. So, absolutely. I mean, I make social media so strong too. You know, it's word of mouth. It's just electronic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Digital media is like huge right now. Did they ask you to sign the CDs and things?
Yeah, which always freaks me out. But, you know, I'm like, I don't know if it'll make it worth more, but I'd be happy to do it for you.
I think it's just that the fact of having it, honestly. I mean, that would be really cool. I'd pay to have one.
Hey, you know, I ran off quite a bit of those things for Wander, which was super exciting to get in the mail, by the way. When you get these boxes and get to hold it for the first time, it's really amazing.
Absolutely. Now, Wander came out October 30th, if I'm to understand correctly. Was that just like the digital release of it, or was that when you actually got the CDs, or how did that
everything,
work?
Everything was there. You know, I had a CD pre-sale, and I did some people order them, but I didn't send them out until then. Okay. The big shebang came out there. We did let Stagecoach Sally out on October 9th as a single. And the video came out on, I think, the 18th. Or, you know, the video actually got leaked early.
oh, no.
Which was totally, totally fine. It's not a big deal. But it came out on a blog, I think, on Monday the 12th, unintentionally. But they just liked it enough to share it. So I was like, okay, we'll just roll with it. But the bulk of everything came out on the 30th.
Cool. Is there a specific reason you chose the 30th, or was that just when it happened to be?
Oh, yes. Yeah. With everything with me, there's a reason.
I figured, because you said you're an overthinker. So,
yeah. There's in the song Manchester Stone, which is probably my favorite song on the record, the song starts out midnight on All Hallows Eve.
Uh huh.
And I went, well, crap, you know, the music release Friday happens to be the day before Halloween. So I figured I'd release it as soon, as close to Halloween as I could. So that was the day before.
Right on. Now, you've done all kinds of different stuff. And you said it earlier, you're kind of this one woman show. Like, you've done the writing, the engineering, singing. You're just all over the place. You have one of those that you kind of favor over the others?
I think, of course, I love writing the most.
Okay. I mean,
singing and writing the songs, it means the most. It's cathartic. It's, you know, it's therapeutic. But I mean, it's I love being creative. Anything, I think, I mean, granted, all of it is creative, but anything super artistic, I'm really gravitated to. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the music video, but all of the drawings, all the animation and Stagecoach, I drew everything in there.
Oh, wow. You're really talented.
So on top of it, it was sitting and drawing and, you know, which I love. I'll sit there for hours and draw things. But I would say the writing is the most enjoyable. At least the thing I get the most value out of, you know, other than getting to share all of this, of course.
Yeah. And is there somebody that in the future you would like to do a collaboration with, that maybe you could write a song and they would sing it, or maybe do a duet of it?
I have to think about that one. I have always wanted to do a duet, because it's one of those things I just haven't gotten to really sing with someone else. You know, I've done background vocals a little bit on other people's records, but actually getting to write something together. There's a dear friend of ours who is a great songwriter named George Merrill, who I have bugged here and there for a possible duet in the future. He wrote I Want to Dance with Somebody for Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. But a longtime friend of ours, and And he's got such a beautiful voice, and he's such a beautiful writer. That's definitely, that would definitely be one on the top of my list. Other than that, I have to say I'm fairly obsessed right now with Brandi Carlile, who's just amazing. I mean, she'd be amazing to collaborate with, but that's like the big dream thing in the far, far future, probably. That's the one you have to earn.
I don't know. I mean, from what I've heard of Wander, I don't know if it's going to be that far in the future. I mean,
yeah, we'll see.
We talked about all this other stuff that you've done and your album and everything, all the different hats you wear. Do you have a talent that maybe like only a couple people know about or nobody knows about?
Oh, I guess one of those few things most people don't know about me, at least anymore, is that I shoot archery.
Oh, snap.
And I was more busy with it when I was younger and had time, but I still have a recurve and a compound bow, and I was competitive for a little while, and I became a certified coach and was teaching. Wow. But it's just like a part of my life I didn't really share with anyone because it was my escape. You know, I could go to this beautiful park called El Dorado in Long Beach, and they have all these bales set up that you can shoot, and it's a public park. And it was kind of my escape to my own enchanted forest and getting to live a little bit of adventure. So I never really included anyone in it. So a lot of people don't know that I've shot archery since I was 18.
So holy cow. Probably regular Robin Hood.
14 years.
That's crazy. I mean, archery is definitely one of those things that either you got it or you don't, I think. And yeah, I think don't.
It's fun for everybody, you know.
Right.
It's like it's an acquired skill, you know.
For sure. For sure. So since you really haven't been able to do that, do you have any other hobbies that you do that kind of help you decompress?
I sleep.
Well, that's a good hobby.
This has become such an all night thing, that it is something that is really challenging, to be honest, because I feel like I spend more time managing all of it and communicating with my team than I do getting to be creative, unless, you know, there's a deadline coming up. And it's one of those things that I think is growing pains and, you know, learning time management and learning how to relax and take time to do other things. But, drinking coffee and taking a leave and sleeping, you know, has kind of been it. Especially not really being able to see other people with this COVID thing. It's kind of limited what I can do anyhow. I spend a lot of time with my cats. I'm slowly becoming an old cat woman, which I am absolutely not ashamed of.
Oh my goodness. Now, do you like, since you're so busy, do you have time to prepare your own meals, or do you just typically hit up a takeaway or something?
Whatever we can do. I really do like to cook. I'm not good at it, but I do like it. And for a while, especially with COVID, we were having those Every Plate HelloFresh boxes delivered.
Okay, yeah.
Why did that actually give me a really good education in cooking and putting big things together from a small amount of ingredients? And also, it's really helpful because they leave the recipes with you. So, since we're not doing anymore, you know, I can put together 5 recipes that have almost the same ingredients but are completely different, and it makes shopping a lot easier, and it makes cooking and planning much more enjoyable. So when I can, I try to just get enough for the week, and I get to cook every day, which is fun. But, you know, sometimes we're still at the studio for hours, or I'm working on this stuff for hours, and I can't even stop for an hour and a half to cook. There's no way. So yay for Postmates and delivery.
I like it. Now, this is kind of on a more serious note, but if you met somebody who was setting out to be a singer and they were just coming to you for your greatest golden piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say that they should not be afraid to do this on their own. A lot of people, when they start out, they go, oh, I need a manager, I need a booking agent, I need a graphic artist, I need all these things and, you know, and are kind of afraid or, you know, to build the confidence of learning these things that need to get done in order for them to build their own career. And some people don't really go much past writing the songs or practicing their instrument. And granted, there's a lot of good to be said about that because, I mean, that takes some dedication on its own to get better at those things. But if I, as much as I'm the fairy tale legend myths girl, there's absolutely zero magic in how this industry works, which is you go out and you make it for yourself and you make your own networking connections. And you, if you don't know how to build a website, you learn. If you don't know how to work Illustrator, Photoshop, you learn. And if you don't know how to book your own shows, you learn, because everything is on the internet. So there really is no excuses. So if you have big dreams on in making this your full-time job, then you have to make it your full-time job.
That's some fantastic advice right there. I like it. All right. So we're coming down to the wire here. I have one last very important question, and then we're going to move into the final segment, which is self-promotion. So are you ready for your final question?
Sure.
All right. Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors or travel into the future and meet your descendants?
That's a really good question. I think I would rather go to the past and meet my ancestors. My family is actually really small. There's very few of us, and there's not a lot of cousins or whatnot. And I've always heard all of these stories of, you know, like my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother coming over from the Ukraine with all five children to the United States. And I have, you know, family that were still using covered wagons in this century, you know, not that long ago. And there's so many people that I've heard stories about that I would have related to, and I never got to meet any of them. So many people in this family passed away before I was born, and I think I would definitely go back and try to meet the mass of family that I never got to have, you know.
Gotcha. I like it. And if we've learned anything from Back to the Future 2, it's that your kids are usually in trouble.
Yeah, that can be a little dangerous. Maybe you might not want to know what they're up to in the future.
Exactly. Exactly. So moving into these last few minutes of the show, I'd like to open it up to you. You can let the listeners know and viewers now know, you know, your different social medias and where they can go to follow all of your crazy goings ons.
Yay. Well, I think the most important one to remember, if you can't remember any of the others, especially I have the oddest name in the world. Thanks, parents. very Jewish. Shayna Adler. So my website has the links to everything, which I'll tell you anyway, but my website is shayna.world, shayna.world, is in the entire world, as in Shayna lives in her own little world, yep. Which is up with that. So shayna.world has a page where you can find my music and you can order a CD. You can have links to Spotify and streaming, but I am on Spotify. I'm on Bandcamp. I'm on SoundCloud. I'm on Facebook, and everything is pretty much the website, facebook.com/ or instagram.com/ Shayna Adler. So everything is, you type in Shayna Adler, it all pops up. There's not very many of us Shayna Adlers. But I would say the easiest is just go to my website. And also, I've been really consumed, you know, time-wise, but a very small project that I will slowly be releasing bit at a time is my website is slowly going to turn into an RPG.
So cool.
Going to be a little bit more explorable, and some of the stories and characters behind the songs and behind Wander will be, you know, on the website. So
oh, that'd be really cool. Really fantastic idea.
That's probably kind of a 90s throwback idea, but I really wanted my music and everything I've created to be an escape, an adventure, to get away from everyday life and to go somewhere magical and somewhere that you're always welcome. So I definitely want my social media and website to to embody that, but also the music. So again, Dot World.
All right. And I'm going to put a link of that in the description of the podcast and on YouTube, so people can just click it and go. And like Shayna said, you just click on the stuff on the website and it'll take you where you need to be.
It's the movement.
Yeah. Well, Shayna, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking to me, putting up with my silly questions. You've been absolutely great.
Thanks for having me. It was really, really fun. It's really great talking.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you to all the viewers and listeners who stopped in, turned it on, whatever, to check this out. And we really hope that you're staying safe and staying healthy out there. And we'll see you all next time.